Hi, this is Jason Klom. I'm the host of the Comedy on Vinyl podcast. We've been doing the show since 2011. Thank you for listening. If you're new to the show, which I assume you are, or if you're just going back to one of the first... Hi, this is Jason Klom. I'm the host of the Comedy on Vinyl podcast. We've been doing the show since 2011. Thank you for listening. If you're new to the show, which I assume you are, or if you're just going back to one of the first two episodes of the show, you're going to be a little thrown off. And that's because we originally thought the concept of the show should be that we talk while we play the records. I have no idea what we were thinking. We're not the first podcast to make this mistake and then correct it when it comes to certain types of media, but I do notice that a lot of people in the last few months, especially as our audience has grown, have started to listen to these episodes, either going back again or starting from episode one, and not quite knowing what they're getting themselves into. So I just want to give you a heads up. The next hour or so is us talking over a comedy album, and it's clunky. That's at best. You know what? I would even recommend just go ahead, skip to episode three, that we always cover these albums again because we get different people's perspectives on them. You can listen to these. Go right ahead. But this fair warning that it's a very, very strange format and something that we're not going to do again unless we're trying to abuse ourselves. So, yeah, well, thank you very much for listening. Enjoy our many other episodes. And, yeah, if you listen to this one, I hope you can manage to enjoy it. Thanks.
And now for 47 minutes of continuous music.
Hey, this is Jason Klom. This is Comedy on Vinyl, and with me is Dan Gomiller.
Hi.
Dan and I grew up listening to Weird Al together. That's how we became gay best friends. I think the first one we listened to together was in 3D.
Yeah, I think so too.
I believe. And I don't know. What were the circumstances, Dan, behind us first listening? We did not, for the record, we did not listen to this on vinyl first.
No,
we were from the audio tape generation.
Cassette.
The highly superior cassette tape generation.
Which... I think it was just, my dad introduced me to him. And he had bought me a cassette of the Pokemon 45.
Uh-huh.
And so I listened to it a lot, and you hadn't, you had me listen to...
Wait, he bought you a single? Did he buy you a cassette single of it?
No, it was Pokemon 45, the album.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then what's it called? Oh, Polka Party is what it was called.
Polka Party.
You had been having me listen to, like, Billy Connolly and stuff.
Right.
So I'm like, well, here's the comedy I listen to.
Right.
And then so we were shared. All going...
And we cuddled, and it was really nice. So, all right then, so we're going to go with N3D.
Yeah.
And the first track on N3D is somewhere on here. Oh, it's Eat It. So, it's Eat It. That's all you need to know. Dan, tell them about Eat It while I set this up.
Eat It is a Michael Jackson parody based on Beat It. And in the music video is actually recorded on the original set of the music video for Beat It.
Was it really?
Yeah, Michael Jackson is a big fan of Weird Al.
That's really
weird. And helped him a lot in his career.
Did he sponsor him?
I think he helped with some stuff.
All right.
And he always let him use his sets and everything. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, let's listen to this.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Eat it. Woo!
Yep. That's how Dan and I grew up together.
That's how we used to listen to this record, actually.
Mm-hmm. Why do you guys think this works well as a parody? Okay, that is a good question. Thank you. Mike Warden is playing our moderator today because we're a little lost.
Yeah.
But frankly, they are brilliant musicians. Like, most recently, they got permission to recreate a clip of... Which Zeppelin song for Lost in the Drive-Thru?
Oh!
But either way, they recreated it completely faithfully. And that's just a testament to what good musicians they are. This would not work if it was just Weird Al and an accordion, although the first couple did, and that's when they were novelty songs.
Right.
I think after that, they're not as much novelty as they are parody satire, because a lot of it's satire.
Yeah, I think one of Weird Al's strongest suits is the fact that he's got such a wide skill and just he and his band are able to faithfully recreate these songs, so they go beyond just making fun of the song and just actually can be a song in and of themselves.
Plenty of people have asked him if he's making fun of people, and that's not what his goal is to do. I'm not sure if his goal is to write a bunch of food-themed songs or what, but so there we go. That's the end of Eat It. What was the first food theme song he did? It was probably My Bologna. But like, that's just what he does. It's just how he plays with the music. Yeah. It's not necessarily the most biting satire, except that every song he does is about some weak part of American culture. We're very fat, and we like a lot of TV.
Yeah. Well, I think also there's a lot of people who seem to have problems with Weird Al because he's a clean musician.
Right.
You know, like he sometimes touches on some sexual subjects in a loose way, but he doesn't swear, and he doesn't really, you know, say really nasty things.
Sure.
And so for some people that turns them off because they want him to be, you know, nasty, but
they want him to be doing the vagina song that everybody thought was.
But instead he's just being creative.
I don't know. I don't know why it's still funny. It is still funny. He's no longer a novelty act. He's a musician.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but, and it's not like biting satire, but I don't know. It's up to your definition. It depends. Because the next song, what's the next song?
The next song is Midnight Star.
Right, okay. And that is satire. And I don't know, honestly.
That's an original, I think, probably a style parody.
It probably is, and I'm shit at figuring out who he was style parodying. We can look it up during the break. But, yeah, let's just listen to it. It's quite obvious. It's about the Inquirer and every other rag.
You know, it took me a long time as a child to realize that's what he was talking about.
Yeah. Why? Because you were special?
I think so. Well, yeah. He says a paper caught my eye, and I always heard it as a paper cut my eye.
That's going to change the whole
that changes the whole
thing.
Of the
song. Paper cut my eye, and then he's going into all these. So, were you assuming the paper caught his eye had some sort of hallucinogen in the paper, and these are the things he was imagining?
I don't know. I was like little. I didn't bother trying to figure it out. I'm like, just being silly.
All right. Well, let's listen to the song and see if anybody else gets that confused. Is that the grocery store?
At the checkout counter at the local grocery store.
Right.
I was only passing by, but a paper caught my eye.
I can hear it now.
And I didn't know what the Inquirer was then.
The paper cut is making him learn. He just said this.
Right.
It said.
It did.
The paper said that?
Evidently.
Okay. Well, it does, yes. But the paper that cut him...
I guess.
Do you think he took this piece of paper that cut him in the eye and looked at it? Or he was imagining that I'm really confused as to where you were.
I'll just put it out there that I didn't have an idea of what was going on.
Well, you had a good imagination, so
I'm like, alright, that's what he said.
Yeah.
It just made me laugh all the silly things he says in the song.
Well, that's another thing he does well, too. List songs. Most of his songs are lists.
Yeah, he's got a lot of those and they're good.
Some of them are just stories. But like Albuquerque, it's a story, quote unquote, that's also a list song.
Yeah.
For 11 minutes, it's a bunch of stupid shit happening. Do you feel as a nerd, Dan, that you ever have to sit and justify Weird Al? Like, too much?
Not too much, but sometimes I feel like I have to.
Yeah.
Like, people are like... don't even realize he's done anything recently.
I was at lunch with somebody today, and they said, oh, is he still around?
Mike Judge he kind of really hits it on the head with King of the Hill.
Right.
So there's that one episode where Bobby wants to do parody songs, and he tells his dad that, and Hank says, Weird Al shot himself in the head in the 80s when he realized that no one was listening to his songs. And I think a large portion of the population thinks that's what happened.
Yeah, that's probably true. But like, I don't know. He's hip. He's sticking with it as much as he can. I mean, everybody's impressed when he covers them. You know what I mean? Well, parodies them. So I don't know.
Yeah,
musicians know he's there. Comedians know he's there.
One thing that's an interesting fact is that Weird Al tries to do a recording in one shot, one go, the vocals. So, like, he's actually probably better than a lot of musicians that he's parodying.
Yeah.
Like, Chameleon Air with White and Nerdy.
Right.
Like, you know, there may be a couple cuts in there, but you know, I guarantee you, Chameleon Air probably stopped after Reasonable Bit because it's so fast.
Yeah.
But and Chameleon Air said that he knew how to rap.
Right. So that's impressive. Listen to that. That's good. That's good guitar playing. You know, I kind of want to just play the bit from Lost in the Drive
because you think it's the clip. You think they licensed it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they went out of their way to completely recreate it.
It's just what Weird Al does.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know, people think Weird Al, but really he's a band.
Yeah.
He's always had the same people since he started.
Right.
To now, always the same people in his band.
Right.
Beginning with Jimmy Schwartz, and then Jim West and everybody else fell into place.
And this, you know, they've always been together.
It's so sweet. It's like us, man. 20 years ago. Does that make you old?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of things lately have been making me feel old.
Really? So, Jack, you want to discuss that? This is going to be about age.
Well, I told Ari that when she turns 30...
Ari is his fiance.
My fiance. When she turns 30 in a couple years...
Yeah.
She'll have been with me a third of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 10 more years when she turns 40...
Uh-huh.
She'll, after that date...
Uh-huh.
She'll have been with me longer than not been with me.
Wow.
And that made me feel old.
Yeah, that's pretty old. That's fucked up.
Right?
That's really fucked up.
You don't
up.
Think about wow. it that way.
We're going to some places in this.
It makes me happy. Does it make
so you
happy?
Guys, sometimes a comedian does a bit, and it happens a lot, and the bit doesn't translate from year to year to year to year to year. Do you think that song still translates, or you think it's dated?
It might be dated in some of the specificity. Like, maybe, I can't even remember right now. Like,
because those stars, those papers don't even exist.
Yeah, they don't really. Exist in the same way.
Yeah, they still exist. If you go read the Globe, it's just the same as that.
Everything else has become tabloid, and so it's just more, like, realistic. You know, it's become, then, if it was a parody of culture, which you couldn't really call it parody, now it's a satire of culture. It's a little smoother, so it's kind of, they've kind of eked their way into, like, it's more, what's the word that I can't think of?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's not overbearing. You don't notice it happening. It's more subversive.
So, there you go.
You know?
I was about to say
that. Yeah, so it's, so the Inquirer isn't there, but yeah, it is dated.
Yeah,
sure.
just pick up a copy of the Globe. It's that.
Yeah.
It's Midnight Star. They haven't changed.
Not by much.
It seems like a lot of people now are more focused on the celebrity rag.
Yeah. I mean, his most recent thing was the Internet Leaks. He's got one called CNR.
Oh, all about Charles Nelson Riley.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Have you heard that one, Mike?
No, I haven't.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's just like, it's an exaggeration. You know how, like, there's Chuck Norris things, and they talk about, like, what Chuck Norris does?
Yeah.
It's CNR, same thing. He's
yep.
Ridiculous stuff.
It's amazing.
Talks about how he eats coal and poops diamonds and stuff like that.
So good. All right, next one is the Brady Bunch. Brady Bunch is a direct parody of the Safety Dance. And this is the first TV one on this album. Well, Ricky, his first album song was a TV song.
This and in Ricky, Tress MacNeille is the voice of Lucy.
That is true. And she's in the video.
Yeah.
Fascinating facts that you learn here on Comedy on Vinyl. All right, so let's play the Brady Bunch, which this one's sort of anti-TV, in a way.
In a way.
It's
definitely...
Specifically anti-the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
I do have to wonder what he's thinking when he's making this, though. Why did he hear the Safety Dance and immediately think of the Brady Bunch? Or did he sit and have a list of TV shows he wanted to plug in?
Right? I know. I wonder, like... And, you know, the thing is, he lives in L.A.
Yeah.
I think he's just in traffic a lot.
That's probably right. And he's been here his whole life. He's an L.A. guy.
Yeah.
So,
and I know, and back then, you probably just listened to the radio a lot, and you hear the same songs over and over and over and over.
I'm gonna go to Wikipedia right now, because this is what makes it exciting.
And you can use TV Guide to help you decide with a capitalized review.
Yeah. All three of us should be on our phone.
Just because we can.
Yeah.
But there's only one set, so whatever you watch, well, you know I gotta watch it too.
Same. Only one TV in the house. Who does that anymore?
Right?
The DVR.
That's so true.
They didn't have a VCR.
I've been nice. I've been good. Please don't do
it. You know, I think the one big thing about a song like this is when I hear the Safety Dance, I'd probably much rather sing this song.
Yeah,
and for the most part, these songs, I'd rather listen to Weird Al. And it's not necessarily that he's trashing those songs specifically, except for, like, Smells Like Teen Spirit's a specific trashing of Nirvana, but they loved it. It's just trashing their style. He didn't say they're assholes.
Exactly.
Maybe he did behind the scenes. Maybe he's a real asshole behind the scenes.
Yeah, maybe he's like, this could be a drama queen. And
but, you know, he, but, yeah, I don't know. Like, there are plenty of songs, like, Don McLean has said that he hears the lyrics to The Saga Begins when he's playing his own song,
American
Pie.
He said there's been a couple times when he was performing that he almost went into Weird Al's version, and I think that's just awesome. Man.
All right, so if you go to Wikipedia, is helpful in at least one way, in that you can find all the style parodies if you're dumb and don't know. It doesn't give you any specific style parody for Midnight Star, so maybe we're okay. It's just Weird Al making a pretty complex song. It's good sounding.
Yeah.
It's pretty well produced. Now, obviously, the safety dance. Next one's going to be interesting, because...
Are you guys more fans of his original stuff or his parody stuff?
Ah, that's hard.
It is tough.
The thing about his original stuff is underappreciated because most people don't know it exists, you know? So yeah. You want to be a fan of that stuff, if only to support the knowledge that it exists.
And there are some of his original stuff, you know, I really like. And, you know, just like with any music for me, it's just, you know, whether or not it's a good song. You know, sometimes I think some of the parodies I like the best are the ones that are of songs that I really don't like.
Yeah.
Like when he was parodying Eminem, I thought that was hilarious because I just did not know where he was going to go with that.
Or the Coolio one that caused all the controversy.
That was a studio's fault. That was a communication issue with the studios and the representation. Yeah. He was told that it was okay by a studio, and then.
Coolio shot him.
The thing is, by fair really use sad. Law, parody is legal fair right. use, so he doesn't need permission.
He doesn't need permission. He prefers it.
And he also prefers it if he can use certain master, if he wants to use any part of their recordings help out with background music and stuff.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how often he's done that, because I have no idea. Obviously, early, he wasn't doing that.
No.
Because there's no point. Because nobody knew who he was, and you're not going to get permission being a nobody.
He wanted to do a parody of another Michael Jackson song. He wanted to do, I think, Black and White, but Michael Jackson asked him not to because he didn't want the message undermined, and Weird Al was totally okay with that.
Which is exactly how Eminem was when he didn't want him to do the video. It was the message.
It was the message.
The song from 8 Mile that was so important. The video, not the song. Fuck the song. He was, go ahead and parody my song. The video was what was important to me.
Yeah, he shut down the video.
Eminem is a video artist. That is what he does. And, you know, he's not going to have that undermined by a simple comedian.
Yeah, no, I really wanted to know how he was going to do Trash Day as...
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming someone told him, legally you can't say no to this, so you might as well be on board with the parody.
Right.
But you can say no to the video, because it's completely different.
Probably what it was. Yeah. Even though everybody else has parodied it by now. Weird Al's the only one who just was nice enough not to do it. Alright, next one's Buy Me a Condo. It's a reggae parody, but it's a parody of the gentrification of America.
I
think it's the best way to look at it. Let's play this one. I don't know if I got that at the time. I mean, I think it was the 80s-ification of it. That was obvious. But.
Yeah. I think that's because that's when condos are really a thing. Like, nowadays, everyone's just like, oh, I got a condo. Back then, it's like, you know, very particular people got condos.
And specifically for us, growing up in upstate New York, which is where we're from.
We're like, what the heck's a condo?
Yeah. Yeah. We lived in a very small town of about 200 people. So finding something to connect to another human being was very important. And comedy ended up being our thing.
Yeah. So. And of course, being immature children, we always sang, gonna buy me a condom.
Yep, that is right. I forgot about that. We parodied
the
parody. We parodied the parody.
That's amazing. God, we were geniuses. Why are we not more famous now? I like this song. And I don't like Jackson Brown. So,
no.
So it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a groovy song.
Yeah, that's fun to sing. We did a video of this. I think we did do a video of this one.
Did we?
Yeah. If we didn't, I did. And I know I have me on tape. No, because we have video of you dressing up as Weird Al. I know that.
Well, we did. I know we did one for Checks in the Mail.
We did Checks in the Mail, which is one of my favorite originals still.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe I did. Maybe I think my parents had a Jackson Brown album, and I'm like, ha, ha, I can put this in a video where I'll hold up the things he talks about.
Yeah, because I don't remember doing so. It must have been.
Yeah, that's not going to go on the internet to accompany this. That's all I'm going to say. I don't care if I can find it.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Mr. Internet.
Mr. Internet.
Yeah, that's who we're talking to, right?
Yes.
Mr. Internet?
Yes.
The guy who owns the internet.
Thank you for listening to this, Mr. Internet. I hope you approve this for air.
Yes.
I downloaded the internet.
Did you really?
Good job.
That's awesome. How long did it take?
It was a while.
Yeah. Do you have, like, cable, or do you have...
Dial-up.
You have dial-up.
Wow.
But you finished in a day.
Yeah.
That's insane. Save my punch card?
Yeah.
I get that funny little t-shirt with the
alligator on. I didn't know that there were, like, the polos had the little alligator on. I didn't know that was a thing.
I had some growing up.
I think it took me finally, eventually. I think I saw, like, do they have a video of this song?
I don't know. I saw it
somewhere, and I'm like, oh!
Reference!
Maybe I just saw it on someone, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That is lame.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a few of those growing up. And then we moved to Lawrence, New York, and somehow no money was left. No more Lacoste shirts for Jason. I didn't go to college to rape any girls after that.
Someday, Jason, someday.
I'm sorry, people who wear, like, I'm not saying you're all rapists. I'm just saying you look like rapists. And that's important to keep in mind.
Right. It's just, you know.
Date rapists. Specific, I'm sorry. Again, I was offensive to rapists. And to date rapists by lumping them into one.
Yes.
Yeah. God, what's wrong with
it? It's a rainbow of rapicity.
Oh, yes it is. That's all I can say to that.
Rape is not black and white.
Next one. Took me years to even know that it was a parody because I had never heard the song My Love's in Jeopardy.
Oh.
Have you?
I felt that it was a parody, but I hadn't heard the
song.
In
your heart, deep in your soul, you're like, this is a parody. This is what he's trying to relate to me. Is that what you felt? And then,
exactly. Okay. Well, no, I just felt parody-y.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. It's hard to say. I just did.
My Love's in Jeopardy is way funnier.
Like, yeah.
Not the original.
The video is funny. Great, yeah. For this, too.
Yeah.
And he really got Don Pardo.
That's right. That is some... There's not a whole lot to say about this. Except it's good. And I remember a lot of kids quoting this specifically in junior high. I don't know why. I think it was their attempt when somebody was stupid, they would say they lost on Jeopardy, but they were specifically referencing this song.
Yeah, it's the only place it would have gotten that from, I would say.
I'm drawing it from very loose memories. Both with a PhD. That and us getting the lyrics to this very wrong on occasion. We did a lot of that, though.
A lot of discovery. You didn't have, you know, lyrics database or whatever back then, so you had to figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, but I couldn't get the questions right.
I lost on Jeopardy. And, you know, this is, you know, when we watched Jeopardy, Art Fleming wasn't the host.
No.
So, you know.
No.
We're like, who's Art Fleming?
Is he referencing Art Fleming in this one, really?
Yeah, he says Art Fleming.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, and Art Fleming's in the video, too.
Oh, yeah, you would have talked about Alex Trebek and what a prick he was. If you're going to do the parody now.
Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he'd do pretty well on
that. Oh, Weird Al is very intelligent.
Well, he graduated high school at 16. He was valedictorian at 16. Everybody was probably wasn't too happy with him.
Right.
And then, what? Well, he's got his architecture degree, right?
He's got the degree.
So, I mean, I guess not that architecture means you're smart, but he obviously...
What I find rather interesting, actually, is that all these songs have a distinct lack of architecture references. He doesn't talk about arches or pillars
That's
or
so
anything.
True. Geodesic domes, so you never hear a reference to that. Or
you would at least think, you know, he would occasionally accidentally flip some architecture-based thing with all his education in it.
Like, that's so Doric.
Right?
Is that what he would say?
Something. You're such Doric, but...
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, what the hell? He just doesn't want to flaunt it. That's not
the
kind of guy he is.
I think he should do an entire album of architecture-based parody songs.
I think he should as well. I would listen to that, sadly.
I think it would be as popular as his Peter and the Wolf.
That's true. It would be just as popular as the Peter and the Wolf album. Oh, God.
I still haven't heard that whole thing, I don't think. We downloaded as many tracks as we could find. It's that bad, is that in the early days of MP3 downloading, you couldn't download the whole album because they only ripped a few of them. They're like, yeah. I'm only going to rip a couple of these.
Well, I think Peter and the Wolf, we have the whole thing up.
We
it's
do?
A 23-minute MP3.
Oh, it's one long MP3.
It's the Carnival of Animals that we don't have all of.
Is that also him, or did he do that for something else?
He did it.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, because there was a popular children's album called Carnival of Animals. Okay. And they talked about, like, you know, the hippos and stuff. So he did Weird Animals. He did basically it's a parody, but kind of lost its way.
He made a parody of something that nobody had heard of? Or had people heard
it
of it?
It was popular.
It's a big thing?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to assume otherwise. But
it's just, but it wasn't, in and of itself, it wasn't all that great.
Do you know what, see, because I don't know, honestly, what my first exposure to Weird Al was, except that it was one of those things just ever present through my youth. I just know that. And then I know that I remember watching the videos a lot. My parents rented the videos because I grew up in Germany, so absolutely nothing was up to date. No TV or anything was up to date. So we had to watch the VHS tapes where he ate the hot dog, the Twinkie Wiener sandwich and stuff. God. And I think in one, he actually might have eaten Harvey the Wonder Hamster in one episode. What about you? Was it just the tapes?
My dad had these two tapes, N3D and Weird Al Yankovic. And, you know, he would listen to them with his friends because he was a stoner.
Right.
When I was growing up.
Right.
And just kind of, you know, then I started borrowing them and listening to them, and that's...
And he never got them back.
Yeah.
And that's how we became friends. I'm going to say that every time after each track, and that's how we became friends.
And that's how we became friends.
And it was very nice. It was good.
All right.
Yeah.
What's next?
Polka's on 45.
See, now, on almost every album, he's got a polka.
Is there one he doesn't?
I think so.
Maybe it's the first one?
I don't know.
Polka, polka, polka.
Maybe he has it on everyone. I feel like there's one that he doesn't.
What a boogie. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm not seeing one on this one, actually.
Maybe it's just the first one.
The first one he does not.
But it's just, it's kind of a pop culture roundup, or some of them have specific references, like Hot Rocks Polka is actually...
It's all Stones, right?
All Rolling Stones songs.
That's right.
But most of the time, he's just doing pop music of the day.
Right. Although some
in a polka. Yeah.
This one specifically is older songs, isn't it? If I remember correctly.
Well, yeah, because these were all singles on 45.
Right.
That's why it's called Polka on 45.
Oh, that I know.
So.
I know that.
But they don't.
How old's Deep
Mr. Internet doesn't know.
I'm sorry, Mr. Internet. I don't mean to...
Yeah, because he's got, like, Inagata to be and stuff. These are all 70s for the most part.
But still, obviously, you know, people were rocking out to this shit.
Yeah.
You know, still.
Still, and so. For always.
And for always. All right, let's listen to Polka's on 45. Inspiration time is what this is. And he wrote, this part is his, correct? Because I know he copyrights on each one. There's a copyright that he wrote this, the polka intro and outro.
Yeah.
I feel at this point maybe we'll go on and name the band member. Name the band members, because A, people always forget them, and B, they deserve they're a good band.
Yeah.
So, Weird Al, on this album, Weird Al plays vocals, accordion, piano, and synthesizer. Jim West is guitars. Steve J is bass guitar, banjo, and talking drums. And I have no idea what the fuck a talking drum is. Mike, you're a musician. Talking drums?
Maybe he just makes sad drum sounds.
Maybe.
Beatbox?
Maybe.
Maybe
beatbox.
It could be.
And then Bermuda Schwartz, which is odd that he's listed last only because he was the first guy to play with him. John Bermuda Schwartz, drums and percussion. Who I recently interviewed for my book. And he's very kind.
They could ask Jeeves it if they want to know what
to That's true. Go to askjeeves.com. There's a servant there who takes your questions.
I personally prefer Hotbot.
Well, yeah. Or Altidisc. Make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. I think, and this is sad, I don't think we would speak in the manner in which we speak if it wasn't for Weird Al. I think that's where, like, we were growing up listening to this together. I think there's a certain degree to which we speak and sing where we sound like Weird Al.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely sound like
him. Frightening and sad. It's really sad. And Dan looks like him. A little bit. He looks
I look like a fat him now, but when I was younger, I looked like a...
That's... Like a stash. Him. Your
still rocking the stash.
Yeah.
He shaved it. You know what? He's lost. That's the one thing Weird Al's lost. He's lost the love for the stash.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel bad? Does it hurt you?
It hurts me. I don't look like him anymore.
No. You do. Curl your hair out. Curl it.
I'm gonna grow it out and perm it.
Yeah. I think you should. I think you should. Start it a little lady. You can just be a little lady. A little late. That is how ingrained that is to me.
Yeah, exactly.
The next word was subconsciously. Fuck. Oh my god. I don't even know where I was going with that. But
you lost it.
Yep, I did. Now wait, do you think, was it called Weird Al in 3D? Well, obviously the last track of The Next Side is related to a 3D movie, but I'm trying to remember, is this when 3D, because 3D had a resurgence in the 80s too. Was it about around here? I should know. I went to film school. I should know.
I'm sure it is.
It's gotta be. Otherwise, why the fuck do
you? That's probably why he did Nature Trail of Hell.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm
Diddy,
just...
I've heard they're making some new 3D movies.
Are they? Really?
A couple of them.
Really?
There's like a thing with like Smurfs.
Yeah.
And
whoa.
Like yeah, like Wood Smurfs or something like
wood
that.
Wood Smurfs.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that
is. With like floating islands in it. And then Titanic is shooting it. And
oh, okay.
Yeah. Titanic. We actually recorded this podcast 5 years ago.
That is true. That is true. That should be.
But I knew that we wouldn't play it for 5 years. That's why I just said that.
Of course. Well, you know, you plan ahead. That is what Dan does.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what I do. Should I go?
This must have been an expensive song for him.
That's true. You know what?
He's got a mechanical license of like, well, the steps are like, that was 9 cents per copy, but it was probably like 4 or 5 cents a copy back then.
No.
But for every song that's on this track, he's going to pay like a nickel per copy of the printed.
Does he have to pay just for use of the lyrics?
He's a songwriter. Whatever
has copyrighted song. Wow. Is there a limit? Like how many words or notes you can use?
No. It's per track. Up to a certain limit. It's over. If he's over 5 minutes and it goes to a different staff.
Wow.
So since he's on there, it's almost better. So it's supposed to be expensive.
That's song. Probably why it's not on his first album.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, like... almost with all those songs, probably like $1 per album would go to all those songwriters per, and especially since the majority of that was going to the record company anyway.
Now, as we flip the record over, we're going to take a little brief break, which you won't experience, so there's no real reason to mention it to you.
Go ahead, grab a cup of coffee.
Yeah, have a nice
urinate.
Little sit down. Yeah, or urinate. And
you know, if you've been laughing too hard at our antics, you can, you know, take a breather.
That's what I'm going to do.
All that she weighed was a half a ton or so. No wonder that I was misled. I called her my sweet Juanita. Juanita, Juanita, Juanita. All that I ever do.
We're back. Thanks for joining us again. This is Comedy on Vinyl. This is your host, Jason Klom, and I'm here with my best friend of 20 years and possible gay lover, Dan Gomiller, and with our recorder-producer, Mike Warden.
Hey, join the cast! Yay!
Hey, he's going to be mentioned later. I just figure he's such a contributor now, and he knows so much about music licensing. That's what Mike does now.
Yeah.
Well, not music licensing, but specifically the licensing of...
licensing of songs.
Of... okay, so music licensing.
Music licensing.
What I said. So, yeah. I'm an asshole now.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Side two. This was Mr. Popeil. Dan?
I had no idea who Ron Popeil was.
Okay.
So I didn't know he was a real person. I thought he made someone up.
All right. And why?
But
it was funny to you because, frankly, that's how insane things are.
But I knew like he was, you know, making fun of. I knew he was making fun of infomercials and
okay.
stuff.
Well, that's
I just didn't know that there was a particular person who was basically the king of them.
That's true.
Because I was too young to stay up past, you know, 12.
Yeah, you don't need to know that. To get the satire of it.
Exactly.
So, that's... all right, that's good. I wonder what Ron Popeil thought of this. Do we know? Let's see what Wikipedia says, folks. That's what's so helpful. Mr. Popeil, a style parodies. Okay, it's a B-52 style parody. I never noticed that.
That one later on kind of gleaned.
Let's see here. The song was featured prominently in one of Popeil's infomercials for his famous Showtime rotisserie. Good to know.
So, he liked it.
Apparently... and, well, let's listen to it now, because we like it as well. That's what we call a segue in the business.
I didn't realize that most of these were actually real products.
Yeah.
Like, some of them just sound ridiculous. Like that, scrambled egg in its shell. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I just thought he was being silly.
Well, all the shit is... Wait, Uncle Phil's still alive?
No, he died.
No, he died. Okay. Did they put him in the dehydrator? Because that's what I would have done. That's how I would have gone out. Bury me in a dehydrator, or make everybody eat my jerky. Ron Popeil jerky. That's disgusting.
I want to crazy glue my head to the bottom of a big steel girder.
It's amazing the Americans how it's had to get to our infomercial.
That is true.
People went when the other guy.
Billy Mays.
Yeah, when Billy Mays died, people kind of went, like, there was an ironic appreciation, but there are also a lot of people who really were sad. It's just so weird to hear anybody say that they were sad. Not to be a dick, but it's weird to hear people say they were sad that Billy Mays is dead.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, not that it's not sad when somebody dies, but it's weird. I don't know.
I know. He creeps me out.
He scares the shit out of me.
He's a director.
He's a director?
Yeah, he directed a film like out of this.
What?
Yeah, I think you can stream it.
I'm going to watch this. I know he's a director.
And they publicize that on the cover of the box.
That he's the ShamWow guy?
It says directed by, and then it gives his name, and it says the ShamWow guy. And it has a picture with the ShamWow.
I hate that picture so much. That makes me uncomfortable. Well, the first time I ever saw the picture, I thought it was like someone making fun
of the ShamWow.
Because it's just like he's making that whole like his head like sticking out 6 feet.
Yeah, you thought it was somebody else trying to make their entire career specifically parodying infomercials. They heard this song and they're like, you know what, that's what I'm gonna do.
You know what, absolutely.
Yeah, so like, that's a great song. I'm gonna live my life by it.
Yeah.
So you thought the ShamWow guy was.
That's what it was. He's like, it works for, you know, Billy Mays. It works for Ron Popeil.
He thought that they were parodies also?
Yeah.
Okay, alright. He's got a very singular view of the world.
Very singular.
And so do you, apparently.
Talk about songs that don't really translate well over time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
The music's great.
Sure, no, it's a great song. As far as, like, musically, I think he's gifted. He's great at what he does, but yeah.
Yeah, this song.
No kid would listen to this and go, what the fuck? What the fuck? It would be like listening to somebody do a song about how crazy their Victrola was, you know, back in the 20s. Like, oh, what? He's got a wacky Victrola. That's exciting.
I think nowadays probably the only thing that would probably be familiar would be the reference to like a smokeless ashtray or Ginsu knives, and it's only because everyone else uses that.
Yeah, that's true.
As a parody of infomercials.
Mr. Kit Marlowe.
It's become like a staple of parodies.
Yeah.
So weird.
Everything comes with a smokeless ashtray or a set of Ginsu knives.
It's that same weird thing where I think I've seen Rambo, but I know I've never seen it. Like, I've seen so many parodies of it, and I've seen so many, like, clips of it, I think I've seen Rambo.
That's true for me with Top Gun.
Yeah.
Especially because of Hot Shots.
Yeah, having seen that over and over again.
But so many people reference that.
What we should do is we should write a script. We should write the script to Top Gun based on what we think the references in Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2 were. So, like, what we think the actual plot is. We have to find out what that algorithm is, and then we just reverse right Top Gun.
Are you both avoiding seeing Rambo in Top Gun?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
I've seen Rambo. I've never seen Top Gun.
Rambo I would watch. Rocky also. Never seen Rocky.
And the original.
And I should have. The original. And I should have seen it. No doubt about it. But... it's because it's so pop culture saturated, I have no idea.
Yeah, I've seen it in the background, Rocky. That's about it.
In the background, you've seen it?
Like, I never sat down... Watched it. I've been doing other things, and it was on the TV because it was like a Wednesday at
but
like noon.
But I will put money on it. The only parts you remember hearing in the background are the parts that you'd already seen parodied in another thing.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
That's the only parts that are going to stick out.
I don't really know anything else about it.
So the next one is a parody, and again, another regular parody of King of Pain by Sting. This one's called King of Suede. And right now, I can't even remember what this one's about. This is one that didn't ever stick out.
He sells shoes. He sells suede. Garments.
That is appropriate, being this called the king. See, again, how the fuck does Weird Al just go from King of Pain? You know what? Suede almost rhymes with pain. I don't know. I'm not judging the man. I don't know. And again, there are times when I'm not sure why I'm still laughing in cases like this. I'm always going to laugh.
but this is one where I'm just not sure where he was coming
from. Yeah, and I have to say, this is actually one of my least favorite Whale songs.
Yeah, and I mean, of the early ones.
I don't really like the actual song either.
Right.
Wow,
it's Sting.
But again, I've actually only very recently heard this song.
Really?
The original.
Oh, okay.
They're all 30% off from yesterday.
Okay, his voice, I know voice has changed, and I know the fact that he was in his mid-20s here, and he's in his 50s now,
mm-hmm.
early 50s now. Your voice is going to change. It's like his pronunciation of things has changed, though. It's weird. I don't know what it is. It's after he shaved his mustache, he did things very differently. And I guess because I've heard them all, I can hear it evolve.
Yeah, it's true. You can kind of tell. Like, his new music just sounds different than his old music.
And I don't know if it's because he's... I have no idea. I don't know.
I give you guys some insight on this personal stuff. When I first recorded the first album of the little band I was with, first time I went in, I was in the studio, and I was a little bit more timid about the way I was singing. As we went on throughout the years, my voice is part of, like... confidence changed, and you acted out more, you became more theatrical.
Right.
And it's very possible that early on he was trying to enunciate way more professional.
Sure.
Now he's found his voice.
Do you think, though, what occurs to me now, though, is if you're a comedian, sometimes your instinct is to go big first. So do you think maybe it also somewhat reversed in that he wanted to tone himself down as the years went by,
It could be, because he wanted to be taken seriously, so it may be that he tried to perform more as a serious musician as opposed to a comedian.
Because he screamed more in the old stuff, I think. He doesn't scream so much anymore. Now it's very strict to I'm going to do it how they did the song. Like when he did the Ben Folds song, he sticks much more to it's less, it doesn't have, I mean, maybe that's the one thing that some of his new stuff misses for me. I love it all, but sometimes it feels like it doesn't have the same Weird Al trademark.
What Ben song did
he cover? It's not a cover, it's a style.
He did a style parody, and I can't remember which one. It was recent. I gotta look it up.
So it wasn't a direct parody?
Just a style parody.
It's you really listen good. To it and you're like, oh, he's totally canon.
Because a lot of Ben's stuff is satire itself anyways.
And he plays the piano on the song. Yeah. Ben Folds plays the piano on the song. So, because they're buddies. It's so weird. Ben Folds and Weird Al hang out.
Isn't that weird how sometimes your favorite artists are...
Yeah, but they're nothing alike, you don't think.
Yes. Weird Al and Hanson hang out, too. He did their most recent
video. And Hanson is my favorite band of all time. You're right. What Mike just said is absolutely true.
See? True.
There's
a big old clusterfuck between Hanson, Weird Al, and Ben Folds.
That is disgusting.
So Millionaire just kind of peeks in once in a while and takes pictures.
You just called Chameleonaire a peeping Tom and a pervert. Do you want to take that back? He's a rapper. I don't know. He could be dangerous.
Nah, he seems cool.
Okay.
He's a rapper. He could be dangerous.
I don't know. I'm just saying. They come from places that people like me don't venture into.
Yeah, Alabama.
Like Alabama.
That wasn't the end. There's a pause in the middle of the song, Jason.
I do that.
Play again.
That's because I know King of Pain so well. Again, that's a testament to us not knowing your song at all.
It makes you say, if I met this person, we would be friends. Because you like everything, and they're friends with these people. I'm a big Ben Folds fan. One of my favorite writers is Nick Hornby.
Uh-huh.
Ben Folds and Nick Hornby are really close. They just did an album together.
Really?
Yeah, they did an album where Nick Hornby wrote all of the lyrics, and Ben Folds wrote the music.
I was hoping Nick Hornby played, the trumpet. Hornby on horns.
Some of my favorite, Weird Al, amazing, one of my favorite comedians of all time. He's really close friends with Chris Hardwick. Great comedian, what I mean? Yeah.
And he also hangs out with Tom Lennon.
Exactly.
And that's one of those things that, again, blows me away.
They would be my friend.
Yeah. Let's can we hunt, is it, now that we've done the podcast, we're allowed to hunt them down, right?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll just email Bermuda Schwartz again.
Yeah.
And just ask him for Weird Al's home address.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't seem like it's too weird of a thing to do.
No.
We can drag this. This isn't. I mean, look at the size of this. We'll just bring it up to his door, knock on the door, and say, you're going to be on our podcast.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Before that, though, we're going to listen to That Boy Could Dance. Wikipedia does not give me any style parody reference, so I'm going to go ahead and assume there is
I think
a
this
one.
Is an original.
So straight up, is there more accordion? That's the other thing. Weird Al, if you're listening to this, which you aren't, more accordion, please. That is one thing that gives me... Not chills,
not
shivers.
No, there's not a lot of accordion in That Boy Could Dance. It's kind of a...
No? Either way, I want more accordion, number. Is what I'm saying. I'm not hearing enough accordion.
Yeah.
He could do with more fart noises, too. Well, burp. He's more of a burp armpit fart. Not a grotesque fart.
No.
Not that guy.
That was, I think, Bermuda's bread and butter.
Yeah? Is that...
Yeah?
Farts were his bread and butter?
The armpit farts. I mean, he's the one who did them on Another One Rides the Bus.
He did? Okay, I didn't know that.
But I think it was just him and Bermuda, because Another One Rides the Bus and My Sharona were his first two songs that they did on Dr. Demento.
Right.
Recorded in the bathroom.
Right. Yeah, so, needless to say, this stuck out for Dan and I. Well, for me, anyway. I know. We all wanted...
It stuck out for me for Jay.
Right. That's what it was. Because I was such an awful... Just, I was a blight on the landscape of teenage life. And, yeah. No, I think we all wanted to discover... Everybody else to discover that we had this secret talent, that we were just so awesome.
Exactly.
I think that's a nerd dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making that up. Am I?
I am.
You're making that up?
No.
Okay.
I just wanted to be contrary to be contrary.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. But I don't know. Everybody wants to have that one thing. It's like, turns out, no, why are we picking on this guy? Which, by the way, I will point out, Dan and I became friends after me picking on him profusely. Because I was trying to be cool, and then I eventually realized I'm not that kind of cool.
And I was so oblivious, I didn't know if they made fun of it all.
Yeah, which is good. Which is a good thing, because you probably would have killed me.
Yeah.
You had a murderous streak as a child.
So. I did. I've killed kittens.
Wow.
In the metaphorical sense.
Literal sense.
Yeah. Not on purpose, though. I dropped it.
You dropped a kitten?
And then we had to bury it.
Oh, that's really sad. You just brought this to a new level, man.
Bring it on down.
Talking about comedy albums. It's called Comedy on Vinyl. And Dan just talked about killing a kitten. Wait, didn't the guy who opened for Weird Al when we saw him in 2000 sing a song called Kill a Kitten? Or something about killing a kitten? I know Stephen Lynch does a song called Kill a Kitten, or somebody does.
Yeah, Stephen Lynch does.
Yeah.
But his is like a hardcore rock album.
Yeah.
I think he does.
Somebody did like a song about killing a cat.
It was like Mr. Megaphone or whatever.
Yeah, he was
I didn't really like him.
No, he's horrible. Just for the record, if you're listening, guy, you couldn't ruin Weird Al, but you ruined the buzz coming up to him a little bit.
Yeah, he was like a local comedian.
How is that even possible? Upstate New York doesn't have entertainment.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you. All right, that's all I need.
Apparently a megaphone is all it takes to be a comedian in Upstate New York.
Talk really loud.
That's all it took. He just got up on stage. He had technology, and people were like, ha.
Megaphone? What is that?
2 years ago, somebody got up on a stage with a cell phone, and people just shit themselves. Like, what? He just called somebody from the stage. Oh, sad. Just so sad.
A lot of people don't realize that, but Weird Al shows are huge multimedia extravaganzas.
That is true.
Video screens and costume changes. And
costume changes, quick changes, very quick changes. From fat suit to regular suit.
Yeah, it's, you know, he'll put on his, you know, fat suit for fat and then change and look like Trent Reznor or whatever with his Nine Inch Nails cover.
Did he cover a
Well, not cover, but style parody,
Germs. He did
style parody,
right? He did Germs, that's right. So, we've got two more songs left on the album, and, they're both really good. The last one, I think we both probably sang a lot, Nature Trail to Hell.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's violent. I think that helped us get out of a lot of aggression.
The next one I thought was, you know, I think should have been the plot of the new Rocky movie, because the next song is called, you know, the theme from Rocky 13.
Which, it's great, because that is not dated. That is not dated, if only because he went and made another one and called it Rocky Balboa. It would have been dated. He could have let Sleeping Dogs lie, but he went and made a new Rocky and then made a new Rambo, right?
Yeah.
I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, good God. Yeah.
And I think the plot of this one's better.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
The plot of this song.
Since we were talking about Rocky earlier, The pop culture references abounded enough that I basically got it. I knew he punched meat, and the idea that, you know, the funny sequel number, Rocky 13, is good. 17's my favorite funny number, I think, but, you know, that's not as realistic.
Well, Weird Al's favorite number is 27.
That is 27. That's true. Dan's doing some research, but he's not getting any results. Mike, are you also researching?
It was not the whole... There we go.
Wikipedia, too.
He's on the Wikipedia.
There's one for the movie and then one for the series. I was on the movie one. The series will tell me the answer for it.
Ah, that is true. This is exciting radio and it would be exciting TV. It's not radio, though, Jason.
Lots of
my wacky Victrola. not that a Victrola. I understand a Victrola.
Yeah, 76.
Really?
Rocky 2 was 79. Rocky 3 was 82. And then Rocky 4 was 85, so there were three of them.
So he predicted it, is what we're
He predicted
saying.
That there would be more. There were at least three more Rockies after this song.
That's disgusting. How can the same underdog be an underdog after that many movies? I mean, I know that he's not in the last one. He's this aging.
Had a budget of $1 million and made $225 million.
Holy
the
shit.
The first one ever.
Yeah,
he wrote it in like a weekend.
He hasn't made fun of anything. Has he made fun of any like big franchises recently?
There's no Harry Potter song.
Yeah, other than Star Wars, which should have been made fun of more, but I don't think he made me realize how evil that trilogy was going to turn out to be.
Yeah, well, the thing about the song about the Phantom Menace is that he wrote it entirely from a leaked script and rumors online.
Yeah,
and then he watched like a. Like a preview.
Like he paid to get in the preview, yeah. Right? So that he paid, could just confirm.
And then basically only had to make a mild change to information about Amidala. That's all. Everything else he got from internet rumors.
That is pretty funny.
So, way to go, internet. You ruined the movie.
Did he predict that Queen Amidala would completely destroy her image to me by sleeping with Ashton Kutcher in a movie?
I think it's at the end of the song. If you listen, he whispers it.
Is it backwards also?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just wonderful.
Historical, it was actually from Rocky 3. Okay. It was from Rocky 3, so it was the third one. So it would have been 82 was released, so that would have been
the last song.
Okay, that makes way more sense. Otherwise, he would have been parodying the instrumental dun da da dun da da dun da da dun, and that really doesn't lend itself to parody as well.
Rocky, 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 Rocky. Not the same.
It's really not.
Rocky, Rocky. Rocky Rock.
But if it was done all in accordion, then, you know, I would have listened. I would have lined up at the record.
Just so you know, it is about the Rye of the Kaiser, by the way.
It is.
I would buy meat from Rocky.
Yet it's not called the Rye of the Kaiser. Interesting fact.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so the sad... Well, it's sad that it's the final track, but it's the final track of Weird Al in 3D 1984. It's called Nature Trail of Hell. And again, I think it's appropriate. I think we picked the right one. Not only is this the one I remember the most of us becoming friends over, but also, you know, 3D's new resurgence, because again, what? It's the 50s, then the 80s, and it's resurgence now. It's probably had a few in between, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
depressing.
It's the, you know, this is basically, you know, saw 3D the song.
It is.
Meets, you know, Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure the next one they're planning on making is going to be in 3D.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Weird Al was not afraid to go. It's kind of, I don't know, it's not that crazy gory sounding, but he's not afraid to kind of push. Does he push the envelope? I don't know.
A little bit.
Yeah.
There's some imagery in there.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's
it's not dirty, but there's imagery.
That's right. Weird Al likes to end some of his albums with long songs, and I appreciate it. It's good. It's payoff.
Yeah.
This sounds a lot like, well, a lot like Thriller-ish. It's got Thriller tones to it. There might be other...
Yeah, I think it was definitely influenced by it.
That's right, there is a backwards part in this.
Yeah.
Where it says Satan eats cheese whiz. Yeah.
I like that it's coming out on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
There's a homicidal maniac who finds a Cub Scout troop and he hacks up two or three.
They wouldn't even make that movie for that reason.
No, that's
no,
very true.
No killing children.
They,
no.
They make it now, especially in 3D.
In 3D.
But a Cub Scout troop?
Just go into a pitch meeting with this song, the lyrics to this song, and read them off, and they will buy it.
Yeah, but a good challenge.
But they'll say that you can't do kids.
Why? Is there a new thing?
It just seems they avoid that. Like, little kids?
Yeah, you can't kill kids. It's what sucks, like, there's no no good kids movies anymore, like, because the Goonies that we read the other day, they swear throughout that thing. You know? And I wasn't damaged by watching a bunch of kids swear, because it was a good adventure. It has a good wholesome message at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where this is going, but I'm just saying, we're all disappointed in the state of films for kids today.
Yeah.
And the state of horror films.
We used to have these talent shows every year in my elementary school, and I used to lip sync every year. That was my thing, and they wouldn't let me do this song.
Really?
Yeah, they made me do another great song, another great Weird Al song. They made me do I Think I'm a Clone Now.
Oh, that's good.
I like that.
Because my brother and I looked a lot alike, so it was kind of funny. But
awesome.
It would have been awesome to do this. They turned this down.
That's weak.
Oh, it wasn't Catholic school.
So they probably just defended to the word hell. Then,
I know.
You know.
But that's great. A fourth grader was out there trying to do this.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
They, I'm pretty sure this informed our sense of humor a lot, or at least yours, Dan, because you had a violent streak in your comedy. Your comics and stuff. You know.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Blood,
guts.
He's had some really... He pushes the envelope, especially for the time. He had this one. He had the one... those were the days.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Oh yeah, he has some. Yeah. He has violence in his songs for sure,
and
creepiness. He likes to be creepy.
For somebody to do that and stay quote unquote family friendly, and then to do it while still avoiding being vulgar and crass and being like Ray Stevens, you know, you can't just be like he wasn't. I don't know. That's what sets him apart for me, at least.
Yeah, for sure.
That there's not just that there's brilliant musicians at work. Not just that it's good writing and, for the most part, good parody, although some of it's just retarded, but that's fine, you know, is that he can manage to walk this weird line, and I think that's what everybody respects about him.
Yeah.
I mean, that is why he hangs out with other people who are comedians and who do stuff that's maybe more biting or edgy, you know?
Cool, edgy.
Mm-hmm.
Edgy means swearing. And...
Yes. Yes, that is true.
I don't know who did the screams in this. They're pretty blood curdling.
Mm-hmm. It might be found. You know,
like they could be
existing.
Is it the Wilhelm scream?
That would be good. I heard another one of those in Toy Story the other day. Before in Toy Story.
Is it?
When Buzz gets knocked out of the window, there's a Wilhelm scream.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. In case you don't know out there, the Wilhelm scream is a scream from a movie from the 50s that they've used in, well, everything. Wherever a dude falls out of something and screams, that's what you hear.
The fun part of the song.
Yeah, this is creepy. I remember being really seriously creeped out by this song. I knew it was funny, but because I'd never watched a horror movie yet, I don't know. I had severe OCD as a kid, so I could imagine it way too well. Really grossed me out. And this is kind of very visceral, this part of the song. Coming from his gut.
It really is.
I think he was working on some demons. A little bit.
Architecture demons.
Yep, some of those architecture demons. Again, Weird Al, if you're listening, which you should be, that is definitely your next album, or at least your next experimental project.
Yeah.
Architecture parodies.
Now, does Weird Al live in a parody of, like, a Frank Lloyd Wright house?
Mmm. God, I hope so. I would. Flying water.
Yeah, falling water, but the water falls up.
Right, yeah.
And the house doesn't fall apart. Yeah. And you're allowed to put your own furniture in it.
And he laughs every time he opens the door. I get my reference. Oh, Weird Al. Yeah, so I don't know. Final thoughts on the album, Dan? Because that is the last track.
I think this is one of my favorite albums. I like most of the songs on here. And
yeah.
When I listen to Weird Al, I tend to listen to this album.
Yeah, yeah. We have them all. We listen to them all. I've only got the two on vinyl. We'll get some more. But, yeah. Well, that's that. That was just us discussing a record. That is what we do here at Comedy on Vinyl.
Yeah.
So, join us next time, And thank you very much for Dan. Thank you very much to Dan for joining me. And
no
thank
problem.
You very much to Mike Warden for not just recording, not just producing, but for being a contributor. You need a three microphone device so that we can all do it next time.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
That's what we should do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So buy a new one.
All right.
Thank you, guys, and have a good night.
I pray that she get indigestion.
Comedy on Vinyl is recorded at Ford Awesome Studios in Burbank, California. Follow us on Twitter at Comedy on Vinyl, and follow us on Facebook, or like us at goo.gl/VSMFZ, as in zinc. Wanna eat goodbye.